Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Inside Hong Kong with Claire Huang, the Straits Times correspondent in the territory. Claire, welcome back.
Hi, Rachel. Always good speaking to you.
Hope you've been keeping well, Claire.
I have been. I am quite excited because I'm booked for my first jab.
That's exciting. And let's talk a bit about what's happening in Hong Kong on the COVID-19 front. What's the current situation? Because vaccines are now available, but let's talk about caseload. What's the latest?
Well, anti-pandemic restrictions and, you know, things like the cap on public gatherings to 4 people, wearing a face mask, providing details when you go out to dine, you know, these things have all been extended for another 2 weeks. That's because numbers have come down, you know, over the past week from the peak of 60 to, you know, teens now. But officials are still conducting ambush lockdowns, you know. Over the weekend, it was in the mid-levels, and then Sai Kung, that's where the gym, you know, at the center of the latest outbreak is situated. And then overnight, we had lockdowns in Causeway Bay. We had lockdowns in Sai Kung again. Thousands have been tested, but only a handful from these testings have found infections. So the government is worried because they think that there's a high risk that the virus can spread in these areas because of the age of the buildings. You know, there are a lot of old buildings in Hong Kong, right? And maintenance is not, you know, at the front and center of management. So also, you know, adding on to the problem is the prevalence of subdivided units.
And that said, Claire, the government is broadening its COVID-19 vaccine program. As you mentioned, you're going for your vaccine as well. What else do we know about the expanded scheme?
So basically, authorities expanded the program beyond the initial priority groups of elderly folks and workers in high-risk areas like healthcare, cross-boundary services, and things like that. Now, anyone aged 30 and above who want to take the jabs can do so, and they can choose which jab they want. You know, you've got a choice of Sinovac and the Fosun BioNTech, Pfizer BioNTech one. And bookings were made available online on Wednesday, that's yesterday. So, you know, so far we have more than 250,000 people who have got the first dose, and majority of them have taken the Sinovac jabs.
How's it been received so far, Claire? Seems that there's quite a significant pickup.
Well, we have had 7 deaths so far. The expert panel that's passed to look into this has ruled out direct links to the vaccines. They, all the deaths, all the people who died took the Sinovac jabs, okay? But there's no direct links to the jabs. So officials yesterday came out to slam medical professionals hired by unnamed individual organizations that had been spreading rumors about Sinovac vaccines. So you've got that problem there. There's a smear campaign of sorts. And then yesterday also, Chief Executive Kerry Lam said that the public is not cooperating with the government in tackling the pandemic because they are trying to, you know, urge people to go for the jabs, and because this is a voluntary thing, it's not mandatory. So she suggested that, you know, those people who take a COVID vaccine, or perhaps if there's a higher pickup rate in society, that could become a prerequisite for relaxation of rules. Things like, you know, so basically they're incentivizing people to sign up for COVID jabs. You know, you can look at looser pandemic rules. You can look at resumption of cross-border travel, possibly for those who are inoculated, things like that.
And in other COVID-19 related news out of Hong Kong, Claire, members of the Hong Kong Federation of Trade Unions were seen protesting outside the United States consulate. That's after 2 staff members tested positive for COVID-19. What's the story there?
So .dot website broke the news about 2 U.S. consulate staff refusing to be quarantined, citing diplomatic immunity. And this is something that the consulate has dismissed. They called it a smear tactic. .dot is a pro-Beijing website. And the most important thing about this entire hoo-ha is that the 2 staff are placed in isolation wards already.
We're speaking with Claire Huang, Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times. And Claire, in other news, Chief Executive Carrie Lam this week vowed to fast-track the local legislation required for delivering the Beijing-decreed overhaul of the city's electoral system. What else did she say?
So she has proposed setting up a LegCo subcommittee to fast-track legal changes. for this overhaul to happen. So yesterday she was taking questions from lawmakers in Parliament, and she said that they could first set up the new body, the subcommittee under the House Committee, to discuss the Beijing-led reform. After the national legislature changes the annexes of the basic law, which is Hong Kong's mini-constitution, the panel can then immediately be turned into a regular bills committee so as to scrutinize the amendments. Now, Mrs. Lam is on a very tight schedule and to change the election laws because she needs to carry out the implementation, the changes in the next 12 months, you know, in anticipation of elections coming. There is the chief executive election, and we have not had the LegCo election that was postponed last year to this year, this September.
Meanwhile, Claire, Hong Kong's largest opposition party joins exodus from mass protest organizers, Civil Human Rights Front. Why did they draw from that front?
Well, Rachel, the party is a Democratic Party and it's left the coalition. In my opinion, they ought to have done it much earlier when Cao Bao broke the news that officials are investigating CHRF. It is only a matter of time that CHRF will be denounced by Beijing. Now, the faster the organizations in those coalition cut ties, the more likely, you know, that they do not get into trouble. For Democratic Party, the significance is this. If it wants to continue to run in LegCo elections, that will now be vetted by a committee to ensure candidates are patriots, then this could be seen as a measure of that. So it has to act, and it has to act fast.
One more thing we wanted to catch up with you on, and that's that Washington's move to sanction more Hong Kong and mainland officials. What else do you know about that?
So Washington sanctioned an additional 24 Chinese and Hong Kong officials over Beijing's what they call ongoing crackdown on political freedoms because of the, you know, proposal to overhaul Hong Kong's elections, electoral system, right? So the significance of this is that it's ahead of Mr. Anthony Blinken, who's the U.S. Secretary of State. He has a meeting with two Chinese officials in Alaska today. So the questions remain, will this be leverage or will this result tip the scales the other way?
More to be seen later today then, Claire. Well, thank you so much for sharing all those updates with us, and we look forward to having you back on the show to share with us the latest out of Hong Kong next Thursday.
Thank you very much, Rachel, and have a good rest of the week.
Likewise, we've been speaking with Claire Huang, Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.